Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. We're here to paint some miniatures and talk about the hobby, so why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Geeks of the North, your hobby and gaming podcast in the Belle of Provence. The only hobby and gaming podcast in the Belle of Provence. This makes us sound fancier. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filion, here with my co-host, the one and only, Antoine Bergeron.
Hello.
How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good. Back from the early days, started work this week.
Survive the holidays?
Mostly.
No, I didn't say unscathed. Yeah. I just said you survived.
Yeah, survived. Yeah, that's the right word. You were hit pretty hard too, so you understand.
It wasn't that bad for me. It was just nonstop, right?
Oh yeah. That bad either. It's the family that's it.
Yeah.
And what happens when the family is it? You have to deal with it.
Yeah, and you're left holding the bag. Something about parental responsibility, something, I don't know.
Yeah.
My wife tried explaining it to me once, but I was busy painting at the time, so I wasn't really listening. Yeah. I always give such a good impression of myself on this show.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of painting, what are you painting?
Oh, you know damn well what I'm painting. I am painting, I suppose the listeners don't know though.
It's one of two big things, but which one are you working on?
Yeah, I am, I should be working on that Minotaur to finish him. I just haven't, the motivation left me. So I changed it up a bit. I am working on, Relic Knights.
Ooh.
Yeah. Which probably ties directly into our topic tonight.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to in a little bit. Yeah. So you guys have started playing a little bit of Relic Knights again. Using the, kind of the, I guess, early release or preview release, I guess, of the rule set from the Kickstarter page.
Yeah. From the 2.0, the second edition.
Yeah. And you guys seem to be having so much fun. And, you know, I had stuff from the first Kickstarter, that I never did anything with. Yeah, I have a brand new sealed-in cellophane rulebook, still.
If you don't care about the fluff, it can stay that way.
Yeah, well, I didn't realize there was fluff. I mean, I suppose I should have known, but...
Yeah, and it's pretty cool, too. It's a good read.
Well, I'll check it out, then. It's not like it's going to be a collector's edition or anything.
I don't think so.
Anyway, so you guys were playing it and seemed to be having fun, and I had the stuff, so I was like, oh, what the heck, you know, it's a little bit of a change of pace. It gives me, you know, something to do. I'd started painting it a few months back, and then, you know, no sooner than you had gotten on the Relic Knights bandwagon, you moved on to another game. Or I'd gotten the impression that was the case, so I kind of shelved it again.
Yeah.
Only to find out a few weeks ago, like, oh no, I played like six games this summer.
It's my second most played game of 2018.
After Guild Ball, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, and the models? Listen, the models were kind of in wave one anyway. Were not the best, I can't lie. But they're still kind of fun. Like, the aesthetic is still cool.
Yes, yeah. The style of them is still cool. The quality of some of the cast is pretty horrible, but...
Yeah. And the material is...
Yeah, it's not the greatest to work with.
It's like all the worst qualities of Restic and Resin.
Yeah.
I think it's how we described it.
Such a good mix.
Yeah. You know, and I dropped this model this week and it shattered. Like old school resin, like it made me think of like armor cast resin, the way it shattered, and I dropped it like a foot, if that even, onto a hard floor, mind you, but like it wasn't like a drop from the second floor of the house or something. Anyway, so I was a little like, what just happened to my model? Why would it explode? Like, it's plastic. It's plastic. Plastic shouldn't do that.
Yeah. I have the same reaction when I dropped the Ostriken. Shattered in 3 or 4 places. Why?
At least I think the stuff is plastic. I mean, now obviously I'm questioning because of the way that broke. It certainly breaks like resin.
Yeah. But it's bendy, so...
It was supposed to be Restic, so...
Yeah, it's a mix, a type of Restic, I guess. So what miniature are you working on?
Right now I'm working on the Diamondback, which is kind of like a big robot for my faction.
I think he's a mech, so I think he has a driver.
Is a pilot? Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure. But yeah, so he's like a big mech then. He's got a giant, like, energy axe. He's kind of badass looking.
And being one of the biggest model in the line, the quality of the casting on that one is not that bad.
Yeah, that's true. He's got some sharp lines. I mean, they're not all sharp lines, but he has some sharp lines.
Mm-hmm. I think it was a good idea to start with that one. Instead of being discouraged by starting with the small infantry
and work on it. I didn't start with this one. In this round, I started with this one.
Yeah, that's what I mean, in this round.
I know I previously painted a squad of infantry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a 3-man squad. Though I must say I'm kind of confused about that, because the infantry I decided to paint was kind of like the elite shock trooper guys.
Yeah.
At least that's what I thought they were. But when I look at the rules, it seems like the basic troops are the same cost per man.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me wonder why these guys are quote-unquote the elite shock troops if they cost the exact same amount as the basic troops.
If I could hazard a guess, it's because big squad, with how a combined attack works, are scary. Because their top damage is a lot higher than most other thing in the game. They're easy to take down, and their effectiveness drops fast. But when they're at full potential, they are scary.
Because of the combined fire.
Yeah. It's the same thing for my sword swarms, my little guys. They cost a lot. They cost more than other stuff in my faction, too. And they're really, really basic troopers.
Okay, well, I will... I mean, without having played the game, I'll have to accept that explanation. It seems to have a certain logic to it.
And that's an hypothesis, I guess?
Yeah, it's a hypothesis. That's fine. You're allowed to theorize. I mean, you've actually played the game, so you know better than I. So I'm working on that guy, and also my faction has these little mini tank things that I think are awesome. So I got a couple of those I'm working on as well. And then if I decide I need to switch gears, I've got some Blacksmith's Guild Ball miniatures here to paint. So I got plenty to work on.
You have a lot of choices. That's good.
Oh, like most gamers.
Most of the gamers we know, at least.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. The only problem is that I kind of picked a darkish palette for this guy.
You so picking a dark palette?
Yeah, I know. That's kind of what I do. So now I find myself, going back in time. And it's the year 2004 and I'm Tron highlighting everything. Super Edge highlights! Because otherwise the model's just completely indistinct. But again, it works for this model, so.
Yeah, it works with the style, so. It's not too bad.
I can honestly say it's probably going to be one of the best painted Relic Knight models anywhere in the world this month.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
And I didn't say the best because, you or Yom could paint something, so.
So it's a good segue. I'm working on Relic Knight, too.
Oh, see, I'm already second best.
I don't think so. I probably won't put as much time on them while I'm working on than you are. But still, I think we'll have a good match.
It looks fun. And I'm already like, we were planning conversions the other night because I'm getting some more. Because Steve also backed the Kickstarter and never used the models, so we're working out a deal so I can get more models than I really need for this game that I'll probably only play twice. But we're like planning conversions and stuff for alternate versions of the model that don't actually exist.
Yeah, or some of the upgrades. There's rules,
but no model. Yeah. So we're looking at buying, I was looking at buying a $30 Gundam kit for one of its weapons.
I think the other thing you found is a better way to go.
The 3D printed?
Yeah.
3D printed Gundam scale weapon? Yeah. The only problem I have with that is it's gonna look 3D printed unless I do a lot of post-processing.
Sure.
Or unless I, find someone to print it in resin.
Are you going to ask Mike? It's not the closest, but it's in Canada, so might not be that complicated.
Yeah, I just don't. It's a lot of little parts, and it's time, and I don't know. I don't really know Mike. I know him, and we've spoken, and I've even helped him out in the past or helped one of his friends out in the past. But it's not the same as when I beg you to do some green stuffing for me or something.
Mm-hmm.
We're not quite there. Whereas with you, I have no remorse. I'm like, please, Antoine, please help me.
And I would be happy to do it.
Yeah, I'm pretty lucky about that. I'm surrounded by kind-hearted gamers who take pity on my lack of actual hobby skill.
You're not lacking hobby skill, Paul.
Well, I'm not a sculptor, Antoine.
Maybe not, but...
I mean, I'm sure I could green stuff something and make a smooth surface, like that, but... That's probably the limits of my my ability, and that's okay. My talents lie elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I think I interrupted your hobby time, so please, by all means.
Oh, I'm working on the Relic Knight also. It's Cordelia... Clean, I think her name is. The one of the Radiant models, so the multi-faction quote-unquote good guys.
The less bad guys?
Yeah.
let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah. She is she's one of the good guy for sure, and she's a major part of the fluff, so it's fun. I'm playing her because I like the model, but after playing it, probably more than a handful of time. She is really good. So, we'll see how our little meta develops. But I might have to paint some more of my specific faction model and not take her too often.
Oh, is she that good?
I find her especially useful compared to other models. But, she is not a damage dealer. She really is a scenario piece. The game is mainly scenario, so...
Yeah, it makes me think of Dust, right? Where you can lose your whole army and still win the game, right? Because the scenario is all that matters.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a bit like Guild Ball, I will say. You have a number of points to get to, an objective gives point, and kills give points. So it's a combination of both. So it's a good thing to have units that can do either kill,
right,
and have both type in the same list. Because just going for scenarios is rough, but just going for kills is also really long. Units don't give a lot of points, so you almost have to wipe out the opponent to just get to your required number of points. So, but she She's fast. She flies, so she ignores a lot of the movement rules. And she has repositioning abilities, either for friendly or opponents. So it's a really good mix.
That's not just friendly faction, right? It's friendly, period.
Yeah, friendly, period. Yeah.
That does seem kind of good.
Yep. Like, if she had maybe just two of those three abilities, it wouldn't be that bad. But
having all of them...
all of them at the same time? That's strong. Like, in faction, I have models that are fast and fly, but they don't have reposition, or the ones that do have reposition are usually slow and don't fly. So the only other model that probably has the same combination of abilities is my relic, is my questing knight. And they're supposed to be powerful piece, and they do cost a lot more points too. So at least it makes sense for that type of model too.
Right.
To be that powerful. And fluff-wise, it works that she's powerful, but might not make for that much of a fun game if she always do everything. But we've not played that much, and I mainly played against Daniel. So always, I think I had one game against a different faction. The rest of the time, it was always his Cersei speed circuits. So it might also be tied to the specific factions I've played, the specific mashups.
That reminds me. I should ask him. That's true. Yeah, sorry. But that reminds me. I should ask him. I remember talking the other night with you about that model we got at the painting class with Elizabeth Beckley.
Yes.
And you said he was for Corsairs?
No, he's for Cersei Spitzer, the Daniel's faction.
Yeah. Okay, because when we were talking about it, I could have sworn you told me he was for Corsairs, and I'm like, I don't think so.
I think you said he was for Corsairs. Or somebody maybe. Else in the chat when we were talking about it. But no, he works for his faction. I go from Marine. Oh, no. I had him mixed with another guy.
He works for Cersei. You're right.
Yes, he works for Cersei, but he's not there. I had another model in mind, but they both work for Cersei. So.
Yeah, so I should find out from Daniel if he has him.
I'm sure he does not.
So I should give him to Daniel.
That would give him a new character to play with.
That's right.
However, I don't know if he already has rules out.
He's got a card.
The card is on the PDF?
Yep.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's how I found out where he worked.
Okay. Because some of the units that we already have don't have rules yet because they were either extras or alternate models. And some of those are not available yet. They were going to be in the second PDF with the expansion stuff, and that never came out.
Yeah.
Never or not yet. We'll see, but
it don't look good.
Yeah, no. So, but yeah, that would be cool. He would have more options.
And he's a stand-up guy, so that model's never going to do me any good just sitting on my shelf. So I should at least, you know. And he's mostly painted, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be a nice gesture. I think this guy is done. Except for his giant axe blade, which needs an airbrush, which I will not be doing on the show, because my name is not Yom.
I don't think Yom airbrushed on the show.
No, I know.
What was the name of the fantasy podcast we were listening
to? Skull Bro is awesome.
Yeah.
They
didn't refrain from doing it, though.
Rotor airbrushed all the time, where he would play Candy Crush or something. You'd just hear the click, click, click of the mouse. Mind you, Steve was guilty of that at first, too, I think. I seem to recall having a discussion with him at one point about the incessant clicking had to stop. Well, you don't think of it, right?
No.
And you don't realize how much those mics pick up. I get it. I try to be a fairly understanding overlord.
So apart from that guy, what have you worked on over the old days? We released the show, but we skipped the hobby part in it, so...
Yeah.
Nothing?
I worked a little bit more on Vetsinder. She's probably 60% complete. She totally does not match the rest of the army. I don't know how I messed up the colors, but I did. But she still looks cool, and, you know, no one will probably notice. She doesn't have giant swaths of armor like the other guys do. She just, you know, she's much slighter frame-wise, so I don't think it shows as bad.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if anyone listens to the show and then plays against her, they'll be like, hey, her armor doesn't match. Then I'll have to like, flip the table or something.
Just that.
Yeah. Exactly. See? They've all been warned. If they listened to the show and found out that, you know, about their armor being different colors, they also heard me warn them about flipping the table on them, so. Equilibrium has been maintained. Yeah, Seth and I just haven't had time to do much of anything. It's been brutal. My hobby, I don't think my hobby's been this low in years. These things happen. Darn you, life. I'm looking. Yeah, sorry for the time out there, guys. Which I don't know if that'll be in the final show because, you know, editing. But I think I messed up what we were talking about. And this is not the same color. What's going on? So over the holidays, what did I paint? I guess I painted a little bit of Cinder, painted my Minotaur a bit. He's just got some small accessories left, and I can't get my motivation there. And that was really it. Like, this is so little time over the holidays.
Yeah, always
traveling with the kids and trying to appease two families. You know, for those of you who don't have significant others or have never had a significant other and may listen to the show, when it comes to splitting family holidays, there is no easy and or fun way to do it. Someone always feels like they got the short end of the stick.
Yeah.
At least in my experience. I might be wrong, but I don't think so. What about you, Antoine? What did you're a hobby guru. What did you do?
I think I mentioned it last time, but I painted the Aranorex terrain. Well, it's some 3D printed terrain for Aranorex.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a quick project. I didn't paint much during the month of December after our last show. I was on a big cleaning mode. So my workshop is a lot better and a lot more usable now.
Looks pretty fantastic, to be honest. I was there a couple days ago.
It's less cluttered, for sure. I still have work to do, but...
It's like you live in a different house now, Antoine.
that cleanup phase was done and I was back to my usual hobby mojo, I assembled my Devanu starter for Anyaral, the World of Twilight. And they're all fully done now. So I based the full starter, that's 7 models, 8 models. And also, when I got it, I got an extra character for it, the Copa, which is kind of their big hunter boss. And he's painted too. So I have my full collection of Devanu painted. So just, I will be missing my Central Empire starter, the Fubarni, the small guys, like the Savage Devanus. So they're thematic opponents. I need to paint that starter too to be able to try the game out. But right now I'm ready to play with Nick from Skirmish Supremacy at Adepticon. That was the goal, painting my Devanus for that event. So. They're ready.
Skirmish Supremacy is a web channel?
No, that's a podcast. Really similar to us.
Okay, I should probably listen to that then. Well, you know, it's always nice to listen to a better version of me.
I would say different version.
you're probably being kind.
Nick and Tim, the other two hosts. So that's it. I finished the starter over the weekend, and since I've cleaned and assembled my Fubarney starter, the second starter, but I had a mispack, so I'm missing one piece. So I'm waiting for that to come in before starting to work on it. I've assembled the alternate Pharaoh Brigand Warlord, the one from the mini crate.
Oh, she's awesome looking.
Yeah, she's really good. I had some putty work to do because there was a mold slip in the back, but it was not too big. I did that last night during Riker's Iron stream.
You watched the Riker's... Sorry, not to sound incredulous, but you watched the Riker's Iron stream?
I knew he was working on that model, so it was kind of an incentive, and nobody else from the group was online doing anything, so I had half an hour to lose and work on it at the same time.
Yeah, no problem. Sorry, I made it sound like you committed a sin.
No.
And if Kyle listens to this, I wasn't trying to imply that. I know I did. You listen to that?
I don't really listen to any streams, but once in a while I join randomly when I don't have a podcast or a show, and the team fits. So
yeah, for sure.
He's working on her. Like, he has a schedule every, I think, Monday night. He work on a mini crate model, so she's gonna take like the next two or three Monday sessions to work on for him. So I'll probably join and paint my version at the same time, if the timing fits, because we usually record on Mondays.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can certainly reschedule that for a couple weeks so you can continue doing that. I mean,
yeah, well, I'll see how it goes.
That's not a problem.
Yeah,
maybe I'll join you. We can all paint it.
Yeah, you have one too. So that's true.
Yeah, I belong to Minicrate.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't given up on the Privateer Press. It just seems like I have, because I have no time to play. And the play days never work.
Yeah, the timing is not always right.
Well, the problem is I get one day a week to play, right?
So, mm-hmm.
And that day lately has been Wednesday, and that's the Guild Ball day. So guess what I'm playing?
Guild Ball. And the only other thing I did, I've been... I got Aristia. Thanks, Paul. So I've got my base box. And today I just straightened the bent piece because it's plastic. Probably more board game plastic than Restic. So I had three or four models in there with some bendy pieces. The quality is pretty good, and most of the pieces are straight, but there were just a couple here and there that needed just a little help. So I did that today. Yeah,
it overall looked pretty good when we looked at it together.
Yeah.
I was pretty impressed, actually.
So I've reread the rules now, and I'll be ready to play.
You found out where all the places where Mark was cheating?
Oh, no.
I'm kidding. I know Mark listens, so, or occasionally anyway, at least listens. So. I figured I'd get a little funny job in there. Yeah. Well, he and I go way back. He was one of the first people I ever played at 40K.
That's way back.
Well, no, I got into the game quite late.
Yeah, I know, but still.
I was in my 20s or whatever. And he had a Necron army.
That's far.
Farther than I'd like to admit. Let's put it that way. Not as far as Mark's 20s, mind you. But
Yeah, there's that. So I just need to depunch the token, to punch out the tokens. And I'll be ready to show you the game, or Steve, or Yom, whichever you guys want to try it.
Yeah. Think about anything else. Are we counting shopping as hobby? Are we the independent characters? Does buying count as hobby?
Sure. Go for it.
Okay. So yeah, in addition to what I mentioned before, I have placed an order for a few things. I ordered a bunch of Kador Manowar stuff like the newer things that I was missing, like the suppression tankers and the
New stuff from the bigger models from the latest CID.
Yeah. And even though I'm not really playing the game, Kador was my first love. Man of Wars were actually my first love. That's what drew me to the faction. So I was super excited when the CID happened. But at the time I was painting my mercenary army. And that's what I was playing, so I didn't bother investing. And the reason I'd gotten the mercenary army was that one of my friends was playing Kador, so I didn't want to really do mirror matches all the time. That seems like a kind of poor way to play the game. But he has since decided to drop War Machine, and all his stuff is for sale.
Oh, really?
Yep. So shout out to Ben, Ben Bergeron. He's got all his Kador for sale, and so that kind of gave me free rein to go back and buy some Kador and not have to worry about not being able to play it. And you and I had kind of theory crafted some lists in the past. Or I'd shared, so I guess mostly me, I shared some lists with you that I thought might have potential for the Armored Core theme list. So I did some shopping. I picked up the models I was missing, or at least some of them. The only thing I didn't pick up was the two-man character unit. They're kind of like it's a two-man unit that's has like orders they can give to Manowar. Kind of like Kovnik Joe does for Winterguard.
Yeah, I don't remember that unit though.
Yeah, I can't remember what they're called. I didn't pick them up because I always forget to use those units. So. Like, I don't use them properly, so I'm hesitant to invest money in something that I know I'm just going to flub. Yeah, when I could just be running up and beating people in the face. So, yeah.
Makes sense.
I did that. And then also, in a non-miniature gaming, but gaming all the same, I built myself a little retro arcade machine. Actually, I shouldn't say arcade machine. The arcade machine's coming. But I built myself a little retro pie machine to plug into my TV. And, I've been playing some Super Nintendo and Neo Geo games from ages ago. And I'd forgotten that gaming back then consisted of a whole different skill set than gaming today.
Yeah. Yes. I've been playing some on my computer with the emulators and oof, it's not the same.
Well, gaming today actually requires a different, like I said, a completely different set of skills.
Yeah.
Back then it was all about memorization. There was no such thing as fair and balanced gameplay, right?
Like, oh, no, for sure.
Like, stuff just randomly spawned and shot you, and you had to remember, oh, yeah, a guy spawns here and shoots at this time when I get to this point on the screen. So I have to know to jump before I get to that point on the screen. You know, like, everything's all about memorization and repetition, right?
And grinding, muscle memory. Too. I remember something. Oh, yeah. There was a castle one with bees where
there's...
There was no mention of any of the secrets or entrance. So you just had to try every square just to have a chance to find your way to the next room.
No, it sounds like Castlevania, Castlevania 2 Simon's Quest.
It was not that one, but yeah, in the same.
Where I remember there was this one place where to get to the next part of the game, you literally have to equip an item. And then kneel on the ground next to a wall, and then a whirlwind will come and take you to the next part of the game. Like, but it's not really mentioned anywhere. So, and I don't remember how I found it when I was a kid.
Yeah, same kind of thing.
I know I did find it. You know, and it's no wonder that we all had the subscriptions to Nintendo Power back in the day. Cause
oh, yeah, for sure. Those walkthroughs were necessary. Yeah.
And I tried playing one game. What was it? But anyway, I was on the first screen of the game, and I was already like looking at GameFAQs.com, like trying to figure out like, okay, what do I do? Because I'm 3 minutes into the game and I'm stuck. And you know, I used to consider myself good at these video games back when I was a kid. So, yeah, completely, completely different skill set required. And the reason I built it was actually my wife, for New Year's, her sister brought over an old Genesis, and I plugged it in for them, and they got super excited. And they were lamenting the fact they couldn't find a bunch of old carts. I'm like, well, you know, for $50, we can fix this. Like, you're going to buy games? I'm like, not exactly. Yeah. So I don't want to encourage anyone to do this because technically it's illegal. So stay in school, kids. And don't pirate ancient video games that, you know, you couldn't buy anyway. It's bad. Was that convincing?
Not really.
Oh, okay. Good.
Oh, I did some more gaming. We got, my son got Monopoly Gamer over the early days. So we did some board gaming. It's a fun take of it on it. It doesn't outstay.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! You used Monopoly and fun in the same sentence?
Yeah, I did.
I'm calling shenanigans.
Well, it's a Super Mario team first, and there's a timer on the game. Yeah, every time you go, you pass the equivalent of Go. You fight a boss, which is one of the Bowser's kids. And there's a limited amount depending on the number of players. And once you fight Bowser, which is the last boss, the game ends and you count points. So you're sure it's going to end?
Well, that's already better than most versions of Monopoly.
Yeah. And you get points for having properties like the game. You get points for your cash and you get points for the monster you're able to defeat. The little boss you're able to defeat. So. It's fun. It's still just a rolling move. There's a power up dice and you have different abilities depending on the character you choose because they have special power too. So
it's only Monopoly in the basic sense of the word.
No, because it's still Monopoly. You still move. You still buy properties, but from Mushroom Kingdom. But every time you move, you roll the power up dice and you could win coins or shoot a shell at the opponent in front of you and you lose some cash on the board. So when you move, you pick up the cash at the same time. It's pretty simple, but it's cool. And what I like the most is there's a two-version player, or the game comes with a four character, but you can buy extra packs. And there's a second variant where you do teams too. So you have can play with multiple characters, and when you roll for your turn, you don't choose a character, you roll first and then look at where your characters are and which power dice, which power up you rolled, and then choose which character to activate depending on that. So that two player variant or the other special team variant makes the game more of a game and less of just seeing who goes where and by what. So that's a cool variant.
Yeah, it's like I mentioned before, I picked up Fireball Island for my wife from the Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
Because she had lots of fond memories of the original game from when she was a kid. And in fact, it was one of the first games we ever played together when we started dating. She's almost forgiven me for it. And so we picked up the new Fireball Island, and they took the original kind of game, which was basically a roll, run around, and try to screw over your the other players. And they tried to kind of build on that and add a little bit more game to it,
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of these games from the olden days, board gaming has changed, just like miniature wargaming has changed, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. If you'd looked at 40K from 30 years ago or whatever and tried to sell that to people today, I don't care how cool the fluff is, that game would not sell. No one would be interested in playing a game like that long. That's just not
the way gaming is. Need a third player and an umpire.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just not played that way anymore. The world has moved on. And the Fireball Island people did a good job at trying to build a game that's got a little more game to it.
Yeah, I heard that the expansions make a big change. Like, the basic game is pretty similar, But when you add the expansion, it becomes more of a game.
Well, so the basic game actually isn't that similar because you can still win without getting the gemstone.
Oh, okay.
And in the original game, I think that was the way you won, was you got the gemstone, you got off the island. And I don't think there was an alternate victory method. And this one, there kind of is. But yeah, definitely the basic game has, you know, it has a lot of throwback feeling. Which is fine, because they're banking on nostalgia, right?
Yeah, when the name of the company is Restoration Game.
Yeah, well, sure exactly.
That's all.
And there's nothing wrong with that, right? That's kind of like what they do. And
yeah, they play on nostalgia.
As a business model, it's not such a bad model. Just ask Nintendo and all those companies, right, with their retro.
Yeah, the retro mini consoles.
Yeah. Retro gaming is big. Because all those kids that were, you know, 80s kids all have money now. Anyway. So that's a whole lot of talking, not necessarily about gaming. About miniature gaming, anyway. Shall we go on to some actual miniature gaming that we played?
Well, just one quick thing. We've mentioned Rake Knight more than once. That's the only game I've played since we last recorded. We had an evening last week where two games went at once. We were 5 Rake Knight players. I don't think we've had that many in the store since even the first edition came out. So two intro games. I ran one with Jose, one of our locals, and Daniel ran one for Chris. And both liked it. So, more new players?
Yeah, I hope so. It's a fun game. The challenge is trying to get models, right?
Yeah, for sure. Well, it's a challenge, and not because there's a lot of first edition models lying around in closets and... on sale for pretty cheap, but you need to find them, which is the problem. And sadly, some of the later release are not easily available. Like there's one for my faction, the Star Lancer or something like that, a small knight with a jump pack, and I've not been able to get my hand on one.
I actually found a model for my faction. Just the other day, I found the medic.
Oh, wow.
In Canada, actually, at a store.
Whoa!
But the problem is, they're not. It's not reduced, right?
Oh, no.
So it's like, do I want to spend $18 on a blister plus, you know, $10 shipping and handling?
At least the medic is risen, so it's going to be a nice piece. A nice piece.
Well, okay. Let's just say the pictures I've seen in the model don't encourage me too much.
Oh, yeah.
Because like a lot of the later models, she's out of scale. Like
She's going to be a lot bigger than everything else you have. That's for sure.
And she's got she's got giant anime eyes, which I guess is okay in an anime theme game. But it just doesn't fit anyone else in my faction. So it looks kind of weird. So yeah. But at least I found something, so that's kind of cool. I gotta decide what I want to do with it. But
yeah. So that's it. I just wanted to mention the game. It's really fun that people are coming out to try the second edition. It's not widely available. It's kind of buried in a Kickstarter update, but at least it's out there and we can play. So
yeah, and hopefully, we don't really know what the fate is yet. Hopefully things sort out for Ninja Division.
Or yeah. Ninja Division, yeah.
Whatever they're calling themselves nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And aside from that, you also played another game over the holidays. You played Judgment with me.
That's true.
And I think that game still holds up.
It does, yeah. It was fun. We have two games in our baggage now. I think we we're ready to play the five levels game and not just the three.
Yeah.
Get a better sense of the full size game.
The full experience. Yeah. I don't disagree. We'll have to try to do that the next week or so. If we can.
Mm-hmm.
These tanks are so much fun, Antoine.
I'm sure they are.
My NMM is not getting any better looking, but...
It's anime NMM. That's fine.
Yeah, it looks much better on my Diamondback than it does on this thing.
But they're so small.
Well, that's it.
It's bound to be more difficult to do. And they're not the most precise cast, so that...
No, there's all kinds
of... doesn't help either.
There's all kinds of problems with these things. Like, I'm trying to do it on the treads.
Oof.
But the treads are... Like, they're so rough. And yeah, I could have fixed them or whatever. They're a bunch of green stuff and hours of time.
No, it's not worth it. Especially that you want to have four or something like that. And they're super cheap modeling points, so you would need... That's so much work.
Exactly. So, not happening. That's okay. Because the way they look now is still fine, and they look super cute.
And just getting them painted is fun. The game has a fun aesthetic. The anime style, it's something we don't see much. They could have been more flashy in your case. But that's a usual Paul thing.
Yeah, I got nothing. I can't even argue with you.
But the game is fun. Really had a blast with it. So, and having them painted just helps because the place where we play the most often, Labyss, they have great terrain that fits for the game. And it's all painted and 3D goes high, so it makes for a really amazing experience. You have the full painted experience when you get your plane model on those big Infinity mostly style board. But looks good. Make for the full shebang.
You know, I'm just going to mention that I actually have a bunch of Infinity terrain here.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
And I have a lot of the MC Studio terrain too.
Oh.
So even without going to the store, we can play, I know.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of the buildings from, what are they called? Micro Art Studio. The mm-hmm. MDF buildings, the first MDF buildings. Actually, I think the same ones that Abyss had.
I think so, yeah. Are yours painted? Yeah.
No, they're assembled.
Yeah, that's why it's fun to play Labyss. They're all assembled and painted, so there's no work to do, and you get it all. So.
Well, yeah, but I mean, yeah.
But we cannot always go to the store, so at least we have other options.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm giggling at my little tank.
And we can always play on 40k stuff, too. It's not like we don't have a lot of that lying around.
I don't know what you're talking about. You got 40k terrain?
Yes.
You never played 40k, did you, Antoine? You don't have a dark past, do you?
I was not sure where you were going with that question.
Nah, I'm just kidding. I don't mind 40k one bit. That's because it's place. No such thing as wrong fun.
Nope. No, I even painted some of my... Adeptus Mechanicus in the past few months for kill teams. So.
Yeah, I'm curious what the competitive kill team they're supposed to be coming out with, the balance stuff and the... I'm curious to see what fruit that bears, you know?
Yeah, I'm curious about that too. I don't know if it's just going to be point adjustment or is it going to be adding more of the models to each kill team possible? I'm really unclear on what they're going to do.
Well, I think it's because they haven't really said, right? They kind of just hinted.
Well, they just announced it and that was it, for sure. We'll know in
soon.
Sometime.
maybe not too soon, but soon.
Yeah.
All right. Should we get on onto our main topic there, buddy?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how many hours we've been going for, but we're probably over already. So, our main topic. I'll let you lead with this one, Antoine.
Well, we've been almost talking about that topic. So, I just want to touch on dead games. What do you do with them? How do you get them on the table? What to do when a company announced that a game won't be supported anymore? That was bound a lot by the fact that we have been getting a comeback from Relic Knight while the company is getting more silent about what's happening with
kind of in its death throes. Yeah.
Yeah. And we've seen almost the same thing with Pulp City. It's been announced to be on sale right now. We have no idea if another publisher is going to take up on it. It explains why there was almost any release in the last 2 years. And they've been signed. We've seen sculpts for it, but they didn't come out. So, and lately I went to the website to look, because that's the only place where you have the whole list of cards. They were on the store when you went to a model, you had the cards available there to look and print. But now that some of the models are no longer available, they've been removed from the listing on the store, so you don't have access to the cards. That's not useful.
That seems weird.
Yeah, but I think having the cards there was just not luck. It was just an happenstance, and it was useful for players to look up. But it was not the main goal.
Oh, it was there as like a buying aid, so you kind of know what.
What type of model it was.
Not really supposed to be a reference.
Yeah, but as they are not listed anywhere else, it became a reference for some people. Yeah, so
which is understandable too, right?
Mm-hmm. So that's what I wanted to talk about tonight. Like,
and you know,
what do you do?
Actually, we went through this a couple of years ago, right? You know, when Fantasy kicked the bucket.
Yeah, when Fantasy did, when Relics did. There's another one that's been announced recently, Roots of Magic. The guy is closing down. So.
Yeah, and those were kind of, let's face it, kind of eclectic games. Like,
mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. But that's what I play the most. So.
And Relics had some really cool looking stuff. I still look at my Vite here and the puppets. My football team of puppets. They're just... It's tough. And it's tough to find the motivation to play these games. And often what happens is the games, when they start dying off, people go into, like, fire sale mode. And they start trying to sell everything they have. Or they light it on fire, right? And yeah. Burn it and take a YouTube video of it.
Which, if you know you want to play... It's a good opportunity to get model for cheap, but at the same time, it means less opponents available to you.
Unless you're going to provide all armies and everything involved.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you can. There's nothing saying you can't do that.
Yeah, that's one thing you can do. Get all the books you can, get all the models you can, and at least you can get and keep a playable set.
I mean, I kept my Fantasy stuff, and I look at it longingly very often, actually. Because I'd only recently gotten into Fantasy when it died.
Yeah.
I'd had Army for years, but could never find anyone to play with. And then finally, thanks to you, we started playing it. And kind of got to know Steve and stuff that way. So that's your fault, too. And, you know, it kind of hit me pretty hard when it got killed. I was really upset about it. I mean, I didn't go outside and, you know, burn all my stuff, but it certainly did not make me happy. And I certainly felt a level of betrayal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And don't get me wrong, you know, GW doesn't owe me anything, so. It's their business, they're trying to make money. I get it. I'm not mad at them anymore about it. At the time, I was not thrilled.
For sure. And you were pretty invested. You bought multiple armies. You had a lot of projects on at the same time.
Yeah, I had. I was just starting my corn army when that happened. I just bought all the models and based them all. And found out that was it.
Yeah, at that moment, didn't you add a Khemri army also? That you were starting to buy four?
Yeah, that's right. Not starting to buy four, I bought the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's right, I had my Tomb Kings army. I forgot about that one. And then I have my Chaos army, which I still have, and my High Elf army, and my Wood Elf army. Though I keep thinking I should probably put that Wood Elf army for sale. Since I don't think we're going to play Ninth Age.
That's one I want to try this year. I must be honest. There's a pretty good scene locally. I'm part of... I have a lot of multiple friends who kept with 8 and are now moving to Ninth Age. And I see battle reports online and people painting square bases. So... it's giving me
The urge
to get it out.
Well, I mean, you know, the stuff is still there, right? So there's nothing stopping us.
Yeah, exactly. It's all there. It's all they're still in the trays. So it's not a lot of work.
Well, I had all those magnetic bases I bought and everything with the metal movement trays. Like,
yeah.
I'd invested a fair amount of money in a relatively short period of time. Because I was really, really gung-ho.
So that's one I want to play this year. The new format is more stable, and I see multiple playing, and there's events even locally. Like Crève-Montsal are organizing some, which is a local group, and there's Alex, a French, I think, French guy.
Who bought my Khemri.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. And he's been organizing events at Labis too, so...
I think that's who it is. Isn't he the gentleman also who's developing something himself?
No, that's Julien.
Well, maybe I'm getting the two confused then. My bad.
Yeah, so Ninth Age is a good example of what can happen when a game dies. The community can decide to keep working on the game. We've seen that with Ninth Age. The War Master Revolution rule set is also a good example of that. It's a mix of War Master, some of the Ancients, well, War Master Ancients rules too, which are kind of the second edition of the game, mixed together. And there's an international committee that's working on it, and they have online meetings and open forums and forum threads about the change, and they're collating everything and putting annual revision to the rules.
Well, that's pretty awesome, right? When you start to seeing that level of involvement from the community.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it's pretty easy to give up and just walk away, right? And it all depends on how much time you want to give it.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, that's what everything comes down to in this hobby. How much time do you want to put into it? Whether you're painting or playing or deciding if you're going to try to tough out to your game dying.
And it also helps when you know that the game is dead. Like War Master has been dead for years. Warhammer, in its old form, the square bases, has been officially dead too. When you look at other games like Relic Knight and Pulp City, they're just on the slow burner or a breeders. life support,
yeah.
Yeah, they're on life support, so it's a hard point to decide to do something as you don't know if the game is going to die or not. You have a pretty good idea of what will happen, but will it get bought back by another company and eventually re-released? Will it change? It's hard to know. Like that happened with Relics. It's been bought back and they released some models, but For now,
TT Combat.
Yeah, TT Combat bought it. But for now, we've not heard much since then. And it's been 2 years, maybe?
Yeah.
We're seeing a bit of the same thing with the Drop Zone. They mentioned that it's going to come. They've worked on the second edition, the beta, but the information is scarce.
Yeah, I don't really know what the story is with that. Like it seems weird for TT Combat to buy stuff and then do nothing with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the other thing is, you know, they bought it, but what did they really pay for it? Like, what's their investment? Maybe they just don't care, right? Maybe they didn't pay enough for it really to matter to them. Because that can happen, too.
Yep, that's possible, too.
Yeah, you buy it on a lark if you got money to spare. Because TT Combat... But, you know, it's not just TT Combat, when I think about it. Look at Wayland Games.
But they've been working on their games, though. That's a big difference. When you look at Wild West Exodus, they have release every month. There's new stuff. They did a revision of the rules. It's out. It's played. So they are supporting it.
Well, but the rules and stuff were all done before they bought it, though.
Yeah, but they've...
And the models were all done, too, right? There was all the Kickstarter stuff. Mm-hmm. The second Kickstarter.
But I think they've been releasing new stuff, not just the Kickstarter.
Well, I could be wrong. I thought it was just the Kickstarter stuff that had come out.
I could be wrong, too. That's entirely possible.
You're Antoine.
No, it's not a game I follow that close, so...
You can't fool me. You follow all games. I know you.
From afar, for certain. It's a game I don't own at all, so... It helps with keeping a certain distance with the news.
I'm so tempted to break into From a Distance. But I won't.
Yeah. So, when your game dies, I think that the first thing you should do, if the rules... Oh, no. Well, okay. Cry a bit. Drink. Whatever you can do to cope.
Shake your fist at the sky.
Yeah. Any coping mechanism you have. But after that, if you want to be constructive, make sure you have a copy of every document you can have. Either get some of the... If the rulebook are only physical, be sure you have them if you want to keep playing. And if they are online materials, download it already. That's what I did when Redix got out, and I got copies of everything on the drive, because when they sold... The website moved, and the documents were not available anymore. But if you want to keep playing and don't have all the materials, be sure it stays available for you.
Really? TT Combat didn't make the documents available?
Not right away.
Okay. They did eventually.
All and right. there is still a new edition worked on. So it wasn't beta when it was sold. So it's in limbo right now. So that's probably why. But I look at Pulp CD. I have a PDF of the rules, but I don't think it's public. I think it's just for the Kickstarter backers. So you need to get the book, get the cards. If the game is going out, you want to try to find the models that you are really interested in. Get them before it's too late to be able to continue to play. And after that, I think it's mostly either you continue to provide and you try to keep the group alive or find other players. Like I've mentioned that in the past, but when we've been going to Adept CaptainCon last year, and I'm doing a bit the same this year with the Adepticon, but some of the small games where there's not enough players, when you go to conventions, that's the time you can find
the biggest pool, right?
Yeah, there's the biggest pool of fair. You might find other who still want to play those old dead games, and it's your time to do it. Yeah,
reminisce about when times were better.
Yeah, there's even events. You look at Adepticon, there's an event for War Master. The game is dead, it's been dead for 15 to 20 years. But they are running some because some players are dedicated enough to continue doing it.
Yeah, and that's just crazy. In a good way. I love that. And you never know, right? Maybe you keep supporting the game. You never know. There's always a chance they bring it back, right? Look at Blood Bowl. Blood Bowl was dead for years.
Mm-hmm.
Community kept it going.
Yep, they had their living rule book. They continued working on it, and eventually Game Workshop decided to come back with it.
Yeah. I mean, that was Tom, right? That's his name? Impact Minis?
Yes.
He wrote that book for GW. You know, he was a very active member of the committee that kept that rule book alive.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, he obviously had a self-interest in it because his company sold
Proxies,
alternative Guild Ball.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, I'm sure he also had a love of the game. Because I can't see anyone starting a miniature gaming company making proxies for a game without actually loving the game you're proxying for. Yeah.
For sure.
But it's a great example of what can happen if the community rallies behind something. You know, eventually someone may take notice. And, you know, it may not be the same. You know, it's the old expression, you can't go home again. It's like that, you know, it's an expression for a reason. So, you know, things may change. It may not be the exact game you remember. But, you know, a supported game of any kind is better than a game that's not supported at all.
Mm-hmm. And be it by the company or be it by fans.
Yeah, exactly.
If fans rally and keep the game going, some company might decide to continue producing alternate miniatures, and they can become...
Oh, Ninth Age? You've got... what was the company that made the Warhammer Fantasy stuff?
There's multiple. There's Mum Miniatures who do a bunch of stuff. There's Avatars of War.
Avatars of War, that's what I was thinking. Do some.
And Fireforge Games. They've started to do some fantasy miniatures, not just historicals, for that. And there's multiple companies who have been doing.
Yeah, I was thinking specifically of Avatars of War, because now they have official lines for Ninth Age.
Yeah, yeah, them and Mum Miniatures also have official miniatures for Ninth Age.
So yeah, strength of the community right there.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, it's not really that different than growing a community for a new game, right?
No, but
you got to go out, you got to give demos, you got to try to maintain, and if you want it to live and you want to have a meta and there's, you know, nothing's gonna be available, then you have to think, okay, you know, is it worth me investing in enough product or whatever so that people can play with me? You know, because it's not necessarily cheap to buy armies to loan people, right?
Oh, for sure, and it's also depends on the type of gamer you want. You are. If you're a tournament player that want to follow active meta, that's not the type of game you should be in.
No, that's for sure.
But if you're more interested, more of a casual player or a thematic player.
Yeah, and you're more interested in the social aspect of it, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Then that's the type of thing you can do. We have a pretty strong competitive war machine meta here. And I don't see those guys playing a dead game because the meta would become stale and they would lose interest in it. Like,
yeah.
They did that for Guild Ball and the game was still active. So,
yeah, no, that's true.
I don't see them following a dead game ever.
No, that's true. And again, nothing wrong with that, right? Like, it's
oh, no, for sure. They like a type of gaming, and it doesn't fit with that style of game, and that's it. There's a game for everybody out, and if you want to have a large pool, be able to go to big events and work your brain on a super competitive event, don't try to keep a dead game alive then.
Yeah, no. That is true. Because that just won't work.
We saw that with the Can-Amer too. They switched to Age of Sigmar instead of trying to go with Ninth Age because they wanted to have an active game to talk about. Even if they were avid 8th edition players, and they were rank and file players for sure. But when the switch happened and the old world died, they made the switch.
Yeah, a lot of people did, right? And they weren't happy about it at first. I think that first year for Age of Sigmar was really rough.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure, for sure.
I mean, and now that it's almost indistinguishable from 40K, in a lot of ways, it's just a thematic difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, it's in a much healthier place for it.
And there were other problems when the game released. Plays were not available, and
it was junk. Yeah, that was a severe problem.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So.
Too soon. But yeah, it was a harsh gameplay experience at first. That sounds politically correct, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, I can be politically correct if I choose. Yeah, gotta be careful not to diss Age of Sigmar too much. People get angry at me for it. Actually, I had someone bring it up at Adepticon last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they used to listen to my show, like, randomly. Recognize my voice, and he's like, are you Paul? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I used to listen to your show. But then you guys started ragging on Age of Sigmar, so I stopped listening. Oh, okay. Actually, that may have been 2 years ago. Like, before the General's Handbook came out, before it tried to have some semblance of structure. When it was all about talk to your opponent and have a discussion and agree beforehand what type of game you want to play. Anyway, that's a topic for another show. So yeah, it's a lot of work maintaining a dead game. No doubt about it. But it can be rewarding if that's what you want to play, right?
Yes.
Because, the only person responsible for your happiness is you. So if you really want to keep that game going, then you got to think of a way to do it, because no one's going to do it for you.
And we've been mentioning dead games, but the same thing is true for games on life support. Like, I love Pulp City, and even before the news, I wanted it to be more active locally. So I've been, I mentioned it in the last show. I've been painting monsters to use in it. On my painting table in some of my next project, I'm going to work on my villains crew and other crew to get players to play it. And I want to reactivate our Facebook community that plays it and find other players. So either a dead game or a small indie game, they have similar challenge.
Yep. That's true.
But at least the smaller games that are still active, the big advantage is that models are available. Or most of the time, models are still available. So if people want to jump in, they at least have the opportunity to get stuff. That's the big challenge for fully dead games.
As opposed to mostly dead?
Yeah. But then some there's a bunch of companies who do proxies, and it opens the door for other companies to maybe do something similar. Like with Pulp City, the game has been on a hiatus, if I can say that. But one of the old the guy that worked on it before, but not the owner, has been working on another superhero game, and that one is coming out this year. So
are we talking about who I think we're talking about?
Nope. But another of the computer, it's Leon, the British guy that's been working on it, and not Devin. Oh, Devin might be involved. Helping out. I have no idea if he's involved or not. But people who love the genre will find a way to keep it alive. Either keep an old game alive or create a fully new games and their own line of miniatures for it.
Yeah, I really liked the one time I played Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction. Pulp City. It had such cool mechanics. Like, it had, multiple resource mechanics, and activations were cool.
It's so dynamic.
Yeah, it's super cinematic, right?
Yeah.
You know, there was rules for everything. The size of the models affected things, too, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what exactly, but I know there was something.
Yeah, the strength of the models affect what they can throw or interact with. Size of the model have an impact on how powerful their strikes are, if they're jumping, or there's... The game is still quite simple. There's not that many mechanics, but they brought everything in line to at least have a use.
It's and about be meaningful. Quality, right?
Yeah.
It's not about quality mechanics, it's about quality mechanics.
So.
Yeah. War Machine has quite simple mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
But the mechanics are excellent, in my opinion.
Yes.
So, that goes a long way.
And I think we've already said all we could about that topic.
Have we beaten that dead horse?
Yeah.
Excellent.
And so dead horse is fitting.
Yeah, I know. I may have thought that before I said it.
I'm sure you did.
Well, Antoine, as always, it has been a pleasure. I've got one little tank fully painted.
That's good.
I've got my big robot fully painted, except for his giant energy axe, which needs the airbrush. And I've got a second tank mostly painted. This keeps up. I'll be a full paint Relic Knights in no time.
That's cool. I did the metallics on Cordelia.
Well, yeah, but your metallics are excellent.
Both of them, at least. But not fully done, but close to that. So before we say goodbye to our listener, I just want to mention a couple of news items out. First one, even if you're living under a rock, and probably even more if you're living under a rock, just for the thematic sense, Game Workshop have announced and put on pre-order the Gloomspite Gits, which are the new Night Goblins for Age of Sigmar. There's an army book for it. There's an amazing terrain piece for it. A ton of new squig and squig hoppers, new characters. They look amazing.
They do look amazing. Yom is fighting hard.
I'm sure he is.
Especially, you know, for a painter of that caliber, like.
Mm-hmm. And he loves Orc and Goblins. He already has a ton of them. And
I thought you were going to say he has a tattoo of them.
He also has a tattoo of them.
Well, I know. I thought you were going.
So, it's all fitting. So, but it's Age of Sigmar, and he's not playing it. So, that's probably the only thing that prevent him from jumping in. If it was 40k and they add a new goblin army, I'm pretty sure he would have got into it. But they look super good. So they are on pre-release and releasing. Most of the stuff is running this Saturday. So just in a couple of days when the show comes out. So if you like Greenskin and the little bad mushroom version of them, take a look. The second new release I wanted to mention is a piece by Demented Games. They are the makers of Twisted, the steampunk skirmish game.
Yep.
They have released a model in their Masters Edition, which is, instead of their playable 32, 35 millimeter scale models, this one is a 54 millimeter scale, and this one is aimed at painters. It's not for play. And it is a variant from one of the models that's available in the game, but at a bigger scale and with an alternative pose. He has his helmet in his second hand instead of on his head. He has more of a standing pose instead of a fighting pose. and it looks amazing. Sebastian Archer, the sculptor for Twisted, is an amazing sculptor.
Well, they had some great stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I had to stop myself multiple times from buying into that game.
Isn't that the game? I think didn't someone we knew painted for their Kickstarter, I think, when they did it.
Meg?
I think it was Meg. Eh? I think Jim painted something for them too.
That's possible. Yeah. And the model for the scale has a pretty good price. It's a 54 meter scale model, and it's $35 US.
Well, that's an excellent price. That's a little bit cheaper than the Judgment models.
Yep.
Which I thought were pretty fair priced in the US.
Mm. Yeah, the Judgment model probably comes with the card, which probably doesn't add much to the price, but still.
It's a what kills Judgment is the Australian, right?
Well, the Twisted is Australian too.
Oh, that's true, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I don't know. I don't know what makes a difference.
Me neither. They're more human, so maybe the characters are the same scale, but maybe smaller.
That could just also be something else logistics-wise.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And it could also be they maybe take a slightly smaller margin, or... I mean, we're talking $38 to what'd you say, 30?
35.
Yeah.
To, what, 50?
Or was it $38 or $48? I think it was $38, so it's not a huge difference.
No. So, those were the two pieces I wanted to mention.
Those are some excellent selections. I got nothing to add. Well, it's hard to follow up GW and those Twisted models. Those are pretty awesome. So on that note, I guess we are done for this week, Antoine?
Yes, we're done for real this time.
Okay. Well, as always, it was a pleasure, and I'll see you next week.
Yep. Next week, Paul, and bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by Ladrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Indie Conquest, a blog helping indie board game designers succeed, providing useful resources from designing games, utilizing Kickstarter, and finally manufacturing and distributing your games. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.